Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. I want to look at verses 23 through 25. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but is a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." You're next. Okay. I was going to smudge up my face this morning and then clean it up, but it was too much of a mess. If you wouldn't be sitting in a crowd here, those of you that are shy, what would you have done? The first thing you'd have done when I showed you your image, or the image that came up when I held that frame in front of you. For the ladies, it's probably a lot more exacting what you would have done. But I find myself doing it. How many of you, when you walk down the city streets and you see a plate glass window and you happen to walk, and I do it. I mean, I look in the mirror and it's like, I think we all do it. Does anyone not? Well, Wendell, those that don't have hair might lack in that capacity. But we look in a mirror and it's like we're not satisfied with what we see. So we quickly, desperately try to make changes. How many of you would like to always just have a mirror in front of you? It'd be right there, everything you're doing. I wouldn't like that. But we're concerned with how we look. The ladies especially, it seems, and I've often thought, you know, I feel sorry for Diane because I look pretty scruffy sometimes in the things that I get involved in doing, and for the ladies, they don't usually look like that. It's if it turns out that they are doing something that gets them scruffy looking, they don't spend too much time in that condition usually. They want to get out of that and get cleaned up. But mirrors do something for us. They show exactly what they see. Mirrors don't lie. Mirrors do not have an agenda. They just reflect what's put in front of them. That's all they do. That is all that a mirror does. It reflects what's put in front of it. Tommy had asked me the other Sunday if I'd want to preach today. And this title had been on my mind for a good while, of Mirrors Don't Lie. And so I thought, well, I'm going to take that opportunity and to share a few things on that. And I was going to go into the book of James, but I'm actually going to back up into Jeremiah, as you see. But for each one of us, your life is a reflection of something. We cannot help what other people think of us, think of me. I can't physically turn on a button or turn off a button to make someone think something or to not think something of me. I can live my life in such a way so that, let's say, someone would think evil of me, as they might not, maybe don't know me, and they think evil of me. And as they learn to know me, their opinion, they find out, is wrong. Or it could even be the other way, where someone could think well of you, and as they learn to know you, they learn to know me, that they're like, you're not who you said you were. You're not who I thought you were. So that can go good or bad. Brother Emmanuel, last Sunday, I had told him I'm going to be preaching on this subject. And he said there was a lady that is at the retirement center. And he said just, I guess, that week, she had walked by one of the big mirrors in the hallway, and she stopped and looked and just stared at it. She said, that's not me. Sorry, that is you. If it was her, and if it was a mirror, it was her. Mirrors do not lie. They only reflect. Your friends that you're with, those people that you know, those people that you're close to, those people that you go to church with, those people that you work with, those people can be like a mirror to you. If you have the courage to ask what they see in you, if I have the courage to ask what they see in me, and also if I'm willing or allow them or accept them speaking into my life and what they observe. I have had to learn, and I continue to learn it, that a certain way that I would come across, maybe I would present myself, in a situation, and then later, that person whom I would have had the conversation with come back and say, boy, Jerry, you really came across hard, or you seemed angry, or you seemed whatever. My defense is, no, I wasn't. No. You totally misunderstood. That wasn't me. Well, all I know is this is how I seen you respond. This is what I observed. And you know what I had to learn in that is that I can think that I present myself in a certain way to you. I can think I present myself in a certain way to my clients, to people out in the streets. But it seems like sometimes, or maybe many times, I need someone else to speak into my life and say, Jerry, what you did there isn't working. What you did there is even wrong, the way you presented yourself. And my defense is to say, no, you don't understand. But God gave us our brothers and sisters. God gave us friends, people that are willing to take that chance and say, you probably shouldn't do that. You probably shouldn't present yourself in that way. Am I willing to accept things like that as fact and to run with it and to work on making changes. Let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah. I want to look at Jeremiah 18, but before we even go to there, I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 7 and just read several verses. This is going to be in Jeremiah 7, verses 3 through 7. Jeremiah 7, verse 3 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." Verse 4, "Do not trust in these lying words, saying, 'The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.'" And that references back to, and I won't turn to it for the sake of time, but in the book of Micah. And that is basically what it was false prophets were prophesying. And they were actually invoking the Lord's name. They were using right words, but they were false prophets. And it says, don't trust in these people. And as we go through our Sunday school lesson in these last several weeks in Jeremiah, God spoke to Jeremiah. And you know, you think about how hard that would have been back then to hear someone speak and say that, you know, this is what God told me. And then you had to decipher whether that person was a false prophet or is a right prophet. The acid test was if they ever prophesied anything one time that was wrong, they were a false prophet, period. We run into that today where there's people who say thus and thus, it's going to happen, and it doesn't. And they claim to be modern-day prophets. They are, but they're false prophets. But how much better do we have it today? How much easier do we have it? We have the written word. We have the final canon of Scripture. It's what's there is there. There is nothing more. There's nothing less. It's complete. How satisfying is that? Can I apply myself to that? Can I apply myself using that for the mirror that I use for reflection for my life? Verse 5 says, again, God is speaking to Jeremiah. And he's talking about his people. "For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment in between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land I give to your fathers forever and forever." Then in verse 8, I was going to read that, but it says, "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit." Jeremy, can we have the other? Verse 9 and 10. That could possibly describe some of us, hopefully none of us today. And we'll talk more about that in James. It talks about being hearers and doers. Hears and doers. And talks here, he talked about amend your ways and do right. Verse 9 says, "Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know?" You say, well, that ain't me. But does any of that fit into any of your life? Steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, or walk after other gods. What are other gods that we could follow? There's lots of them. Where do I find myself in that arena? Then verse 10 says, "And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations.'" We come. We live our lives. We live our lives the way we want to live them in the course of a week. We do the things that we want to do in our own fleshly desires in the course of a week. But yet somehow then we come to church on Sunday morning. And again, I trust this is none of us here. But we come to church on a Sunday morning and we sit here for an hour, hour and a half, and we go home and we eat lunch and we say, wow, God was happy with me today. Because I look what I did for him. I sat there for an hour and a half and I listened to his word. But as we'll see later, just listening to his word, that's only half of it. You're not getting it done if you're only listening. Because part of listening involves more than that. But we act like we can do these things, but yet God is this loving God. God will overlook it. God will, because we're his people. God is a just God. God demands righteousness from his people. I want to read in Jeremiah 18 and make some comments on that. In Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 17. And if you'll be alert, that was our last Sunday's Sunday school lesson. For those of you that were here, I so appreciated, well, if you weren't here, I still appreciated it, Wesley's presentation of the potter. And he had a couple of clay pots, and then he showed a video of how clay pots are made. And it brings home what he's talking about here. Jeremiah 18, start in verse 1, says, the word of the Lord The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. Quickly notice two things in these verses. The Lord said, arise and go. Jeremiah says, then I went. Arise and go, and I went. Arise and go, I went. How quick are you? How quick am I? When we know God is calling, when God is saying, go, that we don't ask questions, we just go. When we have his word to back us up, even when his word doesn't even make sense, it doesn't even follow the science as we so often hear. But it's his word and we know it's his word. Am I willing to go? Verse 4 says, And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make. So it says here the vessel was marred, and that means there was a flaw. There was something going on with this pot of clay, and so the potter decides to make it into something else. It's still clay, and it was still probably the same amount of clay. How willing are you to allow God to take that clay pot that you are and to mold it and to shape it and even to redirect you? And I had to think, when these clay pots, when they're being made, and if we could make ourselves think of being that clay and we're being molded by the potter, I could just imagine myself, I'm in there and all of a sudden I stick my head up and all of a sudden it creates a lump in the pot, because I'm showing myself, I want to see what's going on, or I want to be in control of this. And I've messed up what the potter was trying to do. We have to die daily to ourselves. We have to allow that potter to move in and through us. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So God is saying, allow me to work through you. Now, next I want you to notice a couple words in these next several sentences. One is the word instant, and the other is the word relent. Okay? Verse 7. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, and to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I have thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, If it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which with which I said I would benefit it. God is a just God. He will not allow things just to carry on. But he says, the instant that you do right, I will relent. I will hold back these bad things. The instant that you turn from me, I will allow judgment to come upon you. And this is God's chosen people who he's saying this to. The instant. God is perfect in his timing. God is perfect in his timetable of how he does things. Verse 11 says, "Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Repent and return. Repent and return." We've got to recognize that we have sinned, and we go back and we retrace. We forsake those sins. We cannot repent apart from going a different route. We have to repent. We have to turn. We have to go a different direction. And that's what God's saying here. Then the people say in verse 12, and they said, "This is hopeless." And how many times do we have that today? People say, "This is hopeless. I can't do this. We will walk according to our own plans, and we will, everyone, obey the dictates of his evil heart." Have you ever done that? Have I ever done that? I've seen, I've known what God's plan is, what God has revealed to me, but I'm not willing. I don't want to do it. And so therefore, I've got my own plan. I've got my own route that I want to go. Therefore, verse 13 says the Lord, "Ask now among the Gentiles, who has heard such things? The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing." And put yourself in place here. In verse 14, "Will a man leave the snow water of Lebanon, which comes from the rock of the field? Will the cold flowing waters be forsaken for strange waters?" How many times have you forsaken cold flowing waters for strange waters? You have traded God's best for just doing your own thing. You will go on your own route. And then we can't figure out why life is the way it is. Doesn't mean that when we follow God and that when we do His will that everything will be peachy cream. But it does mean when we follow God, when we do His will, everything that happens, we can know we're depending on Him. We know that we're in His control. We know that we're in His care. Verse 15, "Because my people have forsaken me, they have burned incense to worthless gods. They have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths to walk in pathways and not on a highway, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head." What all does this mean? Where all could we go with it? There's lots could be said. But it says, they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths. What are these ancient paths? What are these ancient paths that we could look at and apply for us today? How quickly are you willing to throw away the very things that you're fathers, your forefathers, your great-grandfathers, and on back, our early church leaders, the things that God spoke to them through His Word of how to apply His Scriptures. How quickly am I willing to throw that aside? Well, that's
well, that's not imperative to salvation, is what we hear. Am I willing to leave those cold waters of the snow coming down the mountain into this brook that has got cold, clear water, and to walk away from it and say, well, I'm still a believer? How willing are you? How sold out are you to what you've been taught that you know goes right along, coincides with Scripture? Very clear. But we make excuses, and then our lives suffer. We wonder where we should fit in. Maybe I find myself not fitting in anywhere. Do people look at you and just like, why would you do that? Why would you leave what you've been taught? Why would you believe a community that you've been raised in? Raised in an environment of clear, strong biblical teaching, and allow it yourself to be put out here. Not saying you're not still a Christian, but you've kind of put yourself out in the fringes, as it were. And maybe you're still on the fringes, but maybe not. What can happen? What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen then to your children? Or what's going to happen to your grandchildren? Verse 17 says, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in their day of calamity. How do you feel if someone's talking to you, and as you're talking, they just turn around and they allow you to continue talking, but they show you their back instead of their face? Is that not humiliating? If you're standing this far apart from you, between you and another person, and that person would just deliberately turn their back on you and still continue talking, unless you're blind. Even if you're blind, you'd still probably pick up on it because their deflection of their voice would change. But says, this is what God. Do we not want to see the face of God? Do we not want God's reflection of His face shining through our lives, through my face? Am I satisfied with just having the backside of God showing in my life? Maybe I'll still make it to heaven. I'll be okay. But what am I willing to do? What am I willing to sacrifice here in order to make sure that the life I live reflects my Lord and Savior? That He does not turn His face from me. I'm even not saying that He's going to walk away from me, but just that you see His face, you see the radiance of His face, and that radiance of His face shines forth through your life. Don't we all want that? Of course we do. We can make excuses and reasons as to why or why not I can do or I cannot do something. We all have that capability. Daily, we make choices. Daily, we make choices. There are some choices that we need to make every day. And I'm talking about choices that we... maybe areas that we struggle in, but as we look at the mirror of His Word, in the morning when I read His Word, it's like, oh, okay, today I have to purpose to allow His light to shine through me in this arena, in this area. Oftentimes, maybe most times, Our life consists of choices that we continue to make. Notice, our life consists of choices that we continue to make. And that can either be to the positive or to the negative. We're not saying that there's times that, quote, bad things happen to good people. But for the most part, your life is made up of choices that you make on a daily basis. And if those choices are continually the wrong choices, you will continually get the wrong answers. You will continually get the wrong results. Back when I was, and I didn't think about it so much, I was talking with Joey, my nephew, the other week. But we were reflecting back on life. And how, when I was the ripe old age of 17, I started working for my brother-in-law, building cabinets. I knew nothing of it. Still don't know much, Wendell. But I started working in this cabinet shop, and my brother-in-law was carrying mail. So he would come out in the morning before he'd go on his mail route, and he'd show me what to do. And then he'd be home at lunchtime, he'd show me what to do, and then he'd be home by 3:30 in the afternoon, and then show me what to do and continue working with me until 5. I knew nothing. For the first 6 months I worked there, as far as I had no experience in cabinets. But I still remember after I was working there for, I don't know if it was a month or something, I was so frustrated trying to figure out how to measure cabinets off this board and to cut parts. I picked up my stuff. I don't know if I had a lunchbox or a briefcase or some whatever. Went out, opened my car door, sat in my car, started the engine, fixing to close the door, and I sat there. And I thought, I was like, if he doesn't think any more of me than to allow me to work here by myself, not knowing anything, I'm going home. I don't have to put up with this mess. Then I continued to think, and I don't know where I got that continued thought, but I continued to think. And I was like, if Val Miller is going to be fool enough to pay me the hefty wage of $3.25 an hour to work in this shop and not know anything, I think I'm going to take his money. I shut the car off, got back in, and went back to work. Tim, this would be a good one for like when you have a storyline in the middle of the book, you can choose the ending of the story. What would have happened if I would have went home that day? I don't know. But that was a choice that I made. Today, I'm here. Today, we're where we're at. I don't know what the other choice would have been. It had been different. I don't know what I would be instead of a cabinet maker. But each one of us, we make choices, and some choices that we make have long-term implications. And maybe not even necessarily to the evil, but they're just, you do this, you will get this. Dave Ramsey said, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you'll keep getting what you've been getting. A couple questions, then we'll close. Is there any such thing as luck? What about... Well, let's back up on that. Most times, instead of what we call luck, it's good choices or bad choices. What about God's providence? Where does that enter into the arena of our life being played out? Do you make excuses? Do I make excuses for why life is playing itself out in my life the way it is? Am I willing to trust, to obey, and to allow God to orchestrate and to dictate my life? Period. Am I willing to trust and obey and allow God to orchestrate or to dictate my life? Period. No questions asked. As long as I know God said it, I'll do it. God said it, I'll do it. And the last one. Am I willing to acknowledge or to accept my weaknesses, my failures, and be willing to change? To be willing to ask for and be willing to accept advice. That's hard. Because a lot of times the reason I do the things I do and the way I do it is because I think I'm pretty good at that. And that I've got the right answer. But would you be willing to allow others to speak into your life, even the things that you disagree with, say, well, that ain't, no, you don't understand. So often we hear, you don't understand. But if somebody is your friend, if somebody has your best interests at heart, and they are willing to speak into your life because they know you, often they can input valuable information for you. In closing, let's read James 1:23, 20 through 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but is a doer, this one will be blessed in what he does. This morning, you were here, and I was going to get a raise of hands, and I'm not going to do it. But how many of you came this morning to hear? Maybe some of you came just because it's Sunday morning, but I'm going to assume that we all came to hear. And let's say we all did. That's good. But you know what? We're only halfway there. Now, we've got to take it out and put some shoe leather on what we've heard, and we have to do. Anyone who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but is a doer of the work, this is the last one we want. This, every one of you, you're looking for this. Every one of us, we want this. It says, this one will be blessed in what he does. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for showing yourself to us through your word, through your scriptures, God, how we can look at that and we can know that it is your word. Would you take these words and cement them in our mind, God, that we would leave from this place and we would be not only hearers, but we would be doers. Keep us in your care. We want to bless your name in all we do and all we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks. You're dismissed.